Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And joining us today is Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day. Oh, my goodness. We have an excellent part of the program here in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about revival. Revival. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. You know, guys, we just ended the first hour. We're talking about abortion and what is happening across the country and the wave of ending and putting limitations on abortion and the brave elected officials that are responding to the will of the people.
Yeah.
See, the elected officials it's a representative government, and they're responding to what many Americans are opening their eyes to. You know, one such person has said that with the Gosnell case, in fact, she was the president. She's the president of an organization, and I'll have it for you here. She was the president of an organization, and her name is Marilyn Musgrave. She's a vice president, in fact, of the Federal Affairs of the Susan B. Anthony, who's a pro-life group. She told the Washington Post that Kasich, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, the governor of Ohio, approval of the abortion restrictions, they basically answer the questions that many Americans who have become concerned about abortion regulation following the murder of trial Kermit Gosnell. Mm-hmm. And he was the Philadelphia abortion doctor convicted of first-degree murder of three newborn babies as well as involuntary manslaughter of one of his patients and what has been known as the House of Horrors. A horrible abortion clinic. And this is pretty amazing, because now you're seeing Ohio join Texas. And this is not over. This is not done. Mm-hmm. You're looking at states like Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas that are looking to join in doing what's right and listening to the voice of the people. But basically what this measure is going to do in this law that just passed in Ohio is going to do very similar to what happened there in Wisconsin. CNN reports that the measure will require ultrasounds for anyone seeking an abortion, which is just, I mean, it's just the right thing to do. If you're going to make a life-altering decision, why are we going to place it in the hands of somebody that is expected to going to earn some money from this abortion? The doctor is going to say maybe whatever he is convenient to say. I mean, they have video and audio of the doctor saying all sorts of things.
Yeah.
One such is saying that it's a fetus. It's a tissue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a tissue, and the young woman or the woman, they don't know. And they're taking their doctor. That's what they told me it was. Well, it's nothing like the patient themselves, the woman being able to see exactly what's in her womb, because her decision, she has to live with that for the rest of her life. So this bill requires ultrasounds for anyone seeking an abortion and limits abortion clinics from transferring patients to public hospitals. If they need more care after the procedure, patients will now have to seek out private hospitals. And basically that they're saying, reporting that this budget will also make it more difficult for family planning groups in Ohio to obtain funding for preventative care. And it basically says it puts Planned Parenthood behind clinics that don't provide abortions when it comes to obtaining state funding. And so this is an amazing thing. I mean, this governor is seeking re-election next year, and he didn't take any questions from reporters, and he's just bold, just stepping out, doing the right thing, and listening to the will of the people.
Yeah.
And God's definitely responding. And we're going to talk about revival and what God's doing, but it's just so exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is so exciting, and I just love to see the Lord being honored this way.
Amen.
You know, when you think about everything that's happening, even our economy, you're saying that the economy is down. Listen, they're saying that Social Security, it's not even being funded the right way. They're wondering if Social Security will even last for the future generations. Well, we just killed 50 million people.
That's right.
That could have been 50 million people that taxpayers. Were supporting.
That's right.
The, you know.
Yeah.
And you think supporting about, yeah. How many doctors and inventors, and you just can go on the list and list, and teachers and all those type of things never came to existence mm-hmm. because their life was ended.
Yeah.
And we supported laws that legitimized killing mm-hmm. a baby. Well, we're thankful that God is answering our prayers. Dear God, and abortion, send revival.
Amen.
You know, in God's news behind the news, I don't know if you guys know this, but you may be surprised to find out who is the most sung songwriter, not in the United States, but in the world. The most sung songwriter in the world. Now, many people would think that it's secular artists because mm-hmm. they're, you know, have all these music and all this type of stuff. But would you know that Chris Tomlin wow. has been named mm-hmm. as the most sung artist in the world, the multi-Grammy winning artist.
Wow.
CBN's reporting he sold 4.2 million albums, and it's amazing. They say that some of his well-known songs include How Great Is Our God, Jesus Messiah, Whom Shall I Fear, and CNN reported earlier this year, from the CEO of Christian Copyright Licensing International, said churches around the world use 128 songs that Tomlin has wrote or co-wrote last year. And basically what CCL does, it tracks what music is used in churches.
Mm-hmm.
And between 60,000 and 120,000 churches
mm-hmm.
are singing Tomlin songs.
Wow.
And just, it's amazing when you think about that. And just the number. But listen, sometimes you may think that, you know, you see so many things happening in the world and you see so much stuff and mm-hmm. so much happening. They even compared his sales now, what's going on with him compared to an artist. But since 2012, Tomlin's songs were played 3.12 million times in churches. In comparison, Billboard reported singer Katy Perry songs were played 1.4 million times on the radio. And this is CBN, you know, reporting this.
Mm.
And it just goes to show you that you just never know. You know, the word of God and worship is getting out all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that you were designed for worship.
That's right.
You were designed for worship. What's interesting about music, and I've been working on this little project for a long time. But it's a little booklet, a testimony really about how when I gave my life to the Lord, God set me free from listening to worldly music and secular music. And one of the things that when I was writing this and learned about this
mm-hmm.
is that when you think about a universal language across the world, a universal language is music. I mm-hmm. mean, they've got yeah. all typing. Bluegrass to rap to rock and roll to you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a music for every single person
yeah.
on the face of the planet. And and clapping hands is like universal. I mean, people sway back and forth. I mean, there's movement, there's dance anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anywhere around the country. It doesn't matter around the world, it doesn't matter how primitive, doesn't matter how, you know, technologically advanced a society is. Mm-hmm. But there's something about music, and I tend to believe that it's because God put worship in the heart of man. God put it inside of man to be able to worship and to exalt
mm-hmm.
him, not necessarily, you know, other people. And that's what's happened. I mean, it says with a cymbal, praise him, you know, the scriptures say, and with a song and with a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And God put that in the heart of man. And
that's right.
It's important because, you know, the enemy can come to steal that away from you. And what God created you, your mouth, to sing unto him and to glorify him. And you can scream at a sporting event. And people actually scream for hockey. I don't know why they would.
I don't understand.
But they do. I don't understand it either.
Makes no sense.
It's two of us. you know, but you can use those same vocal cords.
Roger that.
You can use those same vocal cords to exalt God.
That's
I mean, you know, some people say, well, I don't get excited. That's cool. Do you get excited at a sporting event? Well, yeah, well, you can get excited about God.
Huge. You know, I can't think which specific artist it was. I know there was a Christian artist, and he's getting interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, he says, what is worship to you? And he took a moment and he says, it's giving God's breath back to him.
Mm.
And you think about it, God breathes life back into, he breathes life into us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like when we take that time to sing back to him, to worship him, it's like we're giving that breath back to him.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, it's just powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about singing, talking about worship, you know, singing is just one part of worship. You know, we worship God with our lives and with our actions. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just a song.
Just sing a song, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a very important part because you're oftentimes singing words. You're singing sometimes in the most intimate first-person terms. Those are often, in my experience, I've seen also in the experience of others, is that when they are personally talking in first person and singing to God,
mm-hmm.
the worship becomes a prayer. It just becomes involved into one thing, one encounter with God. And there's nothing like being able to communicate with him, whether it be mm-hmm. in talking prayer, whether it be in song. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So it's exciting to hear that. Chris Tomlin. Look at that. Who would have known?
Wow.
Who would have known? And there's something that God's doing on the face of the earth when you see all these psalmists. I mean, there's people that write songs, and then there's some that write these, I mean, prophetic, beautiful, amazing songs that just touch the heart of God and mm-hmm. touch the soul of man.
Yeah.
And that it gives us an opportunity to express, you know, some are more gifted than others with word usage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it gives us all the opportunity to say, yeah, I would have said that. If I could write a song to God, I would have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows us to have an mm-hmm. opportunity to do that. So how about that?
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we're celebrating this week, Independence Week, and we're talking about how awesome, you know, it is to live in this great country, America. And what, you know, we were joking around earlier in the first hour about Steve being a Marine, but in all seriousness, I mean, we are honored about Steve's service and all of those brave and men and women in the armed forces that defend freedom and defend our Constitution. And it's awesome to see what God has done throughout the years with America, but you'll be surprised at, or maybe you may not be surprised to know, oftentimes it's the great revivals and what God has done amongst the Christians in this country. Oftentimes that's been, you know, in the news, you're not going to hear about that. That's been pulled away. But let me tell you that, you know, this country was founded for, you know, Christian Judeo principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we must not separate that or forget that. Mm-hmm. Talking about the original intent of the church, CBN does a fantastic segment, we're going to listen to this, about American revivals and their impact on shaping U.S. history.
Well, we're all getting ready for Independence Day, and as we celebrate the 4th of July, we'll hear stories about the Founding Fathers. One aspect that's often overlooked is the key role that Christianity played in American history. As Paul Strand reports, a massive revival in the 1700s left a radical mark on the birth of our nation.
America's Revolutionary Fathers weren't just nominal Christians. They were profoundly influenced by the New World's first revival, the Great Awakening. Reverend Eddie Hyatt tells how it hit from the 1720s to 60s in his book, America's Revival Heritage. Colonial pastor Jonathan Edwards, known to pray and study his Bible 13 hours a day, watched radical revival take over his hometown in Massachusetts.
The way he describes it is just like one day God invaded the town of Northampton. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
The bars emptied out and Christians' homes filled with people anxious to be saved and know God.
He said, if you came across someone who seemed spiritually indifferent, it would be spoken of as a strange thing.
Then the powerful English preacher George Whitefield brought his fiery sermons to America. Scorned by the established church, he preached salvation to huge multitudes outdoors. Crowds from 10,000 to as many as 30,000 showed up.
Entire towns repenting and turning to God.
Whitefield stayed at Benjamin Franklin's home while preaching in Philadelphia, and Franklin wrote of the revival's impact.
From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street.
Whitefield lifted up a special prayer for the colonies that would make a huge difference in their revolution and future together.
They would not live as 13 scattered colonies, but as one nation under God.
And indeed, the Great Awakening became the first national event the scattered colonies experienced as one. It unified them unlike any time before, just in time to face the mighty British Empire in war. The revival also shaped the Founding Fathers' core vision for America, that God sets men free. It's their natural right to have liberty, and each is made to rule with Christ. Its influence is all over their Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights. As he studied the founders, Hyatt found example after example of how deeply this awakening influenced them and their Christian values. Take Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
He signed all presidential documents in the year of our Lord Christ.
He sent Christian missionaries to one Indian tribe and gave them federal funds to build a church. He also attended Sunday services held in the House of Representatives. Some scholars even doubt the first president's faith, but a Quaker named Isaac Potts, living near Valley Forge, saw George Washington's faith up close during that cruel winter that almost froze his colonial army to death during the Revolution.
He said, "I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone. He was at prayer to the God of the armies of heaven, beseeching him."
The anti-war Quaker Potts later wrote,
and he says, "Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian. But if there is one in the world, it is Washington."
At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly, the convention almost broke up. But then Ben Franklin stood and began to preach.
He says, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?"
Then Franklin beseeched them to pray together at the start of every day. After that, an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation came upon the founders.
And they were able to proceed and to finish their job of hammering out the American Constitution and Bill of Rights, and in a context of prayer.
60 years after it began, the Great Awakening still influenced the Founding Fathers and continues to benefit our country today. Paul Strand, CBN News.
That's awesome.
That's powerful.
That is awesome. Mm. I mean, think about it. The Founding Fathers. This is so important because we're missing out on our heritage and understanding what had happened. Mm. But you're looking at the first national event that brought the 13 colonies together was the first Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first Great Awakening. And you hear, you know, awesome leaders like Benjamin Franklin, who used to hang out with George Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Benjamin Franklin was an awesome man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great statesman. I mean, he wasn't a president, but let me tell you something. We honor him on the $100 bill, you know,
right.
At the Franklins. And
that's right.
Think about it. And he was greatly influenced by his ministry. And it's somebody was quoting, CBN is sharing this, that one of the Quakers was quoted as saying that the people would be, this was their goal and their vision, that the people would be self-governing from within by the love of God and by an inner moral compass that was guided by the New Testament. The more that they would be governed from within, the less outward government they would need.
Mm.
I mean, how true is that today?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, a government and a people that don't have God at the forefront. You need all these laws. You need laws to control men. If they don't have any moral compass on the inside to say, listen, we need to do right, not because of I may go to jail. I need to do right because I want to do what's right before God.
Amen.
And there's evidence of that because all the laws that's been created since the beginning. I mean, there's just creating more and more and more laws because people don't have any governing values anymore.
Yeah.
They've totally discounted the word of God. And so man has to keep creating these laws.
Amen.
To try and curb people's behavior. It ain't working.
Catch a clue. We have more prisons all over the place. You would think that, oh, if we just create more laws, we can control behavior, but it doesn't happen.
Right.
Behavior modification, you can't control someone to conform. You can get them while their eyes are on you to do what's right. But what is more powerful is to have God on the inside of them.
Exactly.
And with that being said, it's like you can't create a law in order to try to change the heart. It's just like you have to allow God to come in and change your heart, and you put God's laws, which is going to supersede, and you're gonna look to God first. And you're going to have that humility. You're going to have that obedience in the land.
You know, they said that at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly at the convention that they say they almost broke up. And Ben Franklin stood up and began to preach. It's Ben Franklin now. And he's quoted as saying here in this article from CBN, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." And the aging founding father reportedly said, "And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice," and the word of God says, out of his will, "it is probable that an empire, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid."
Yeah.
Think about that. You know, we had in this country a founding. A founding where God was at the center. And you look at the greatness of America and how it was birthed and just from the beginning.
Through that struggle, right?
Yeah. And now you see it now and it's like, wait a minute, have we lost some of the glory that God has put on America? And you would dare say that there's something that happened in definitely in the 60s that went all the way through the 70s and it's almost like it has never reversed back. I mean, we have had a moment in time where there have been outpourings. So let me tell you, there's nothing like an outpouring. There's nothing like a move of God. You can talk about it. You can hear testimonies like it. But let me tell you, there's nothing like experiencing the glory and the power of God. And when you're talking about a revival, I mean, we have been a part of an outpouring that every single day, I mean, every single day, people would line up. I mean, when have you ever heard people line up for 12, 13 hours? And I've seen this with my own eyes, just to be able to be a part of a revival that was going to happen at 7 o'clock that night, but they were there first thing in the morning in the hot sun. And we've seen them come from droves all over the world, delegations of them, and to be touched by the glory and the power of God. Listen, it could only be God that'll keep people coming back night after night after night after night after night. And you saw people that were changed. I know so many people of their testimonies of what God brought them out of. And let me tell you, the only hope for America, the only hope for America is another great revival, an awakening that really shakes the world. I didn't know this, but apparently there was a great move of God. A revival hit right after the Civil War that really helped to bring the country back. When you see the country so fragmented right now, and Pat, what you were saying earlier, so important because, we've just tried to put all these laws on the books to try to get people to act right.
And the scriptures say the power of sin is the law. The more law you put on somebody, the more you're going to be driven to sin. The more you tell me I can't do something, if I don't know God, the more I'm going to want to do it.
Exactly.
Like you tell the kid, keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Well, what's that kid going to do?
He's going to put on the cookie jar.
He's going to go right for it. Because there's something inside him called his sin nature that wants to do the very thing that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's driving him to it.
That's exactly it.
I think about that time of our nation when they were so divided. But at the same time, too, you had those leaders that stepped up to George Whitefield, to Jonathan Edwards, and they would send out in their cities and in their specific areas of influence and preach the gospel with boldness. Whole cities were repenting. Whole cities were giving their lives to the Lord. And what is powerful, I think about that, is just during that time when they were, when the government came together and they were divided. And you think about it, we've talked about it before. We had a recent election a few years ago, and it was just such a close race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parties aside, Democratic, Republican, but it's just like we were a nation divided. And it's just like God loves the nations. God loves the cities. And it's just like whole cities can come to God.
In a day. Nations, mm-hmm. nations can be one in a day.
Amen.
And that's what we're believing for. We're believing and praying for a great awakening that sweeps across this country, America, and the world. I mean, look what's happening. We're seeing what's happening with abortion. Listen, these laws have been on the books since 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a ripple that's happening across the states. And the states are different from the federal government. Remember, we've been talking about that on the Constitution, that how the states, they came together and gave some of their power to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government didn't create the states. The states are the ones that created the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're looking at are states, individual states that are saying, listen, as for us here in Florida,
amen.
As for us here in Ohio, as for us here in Texas, as for us here in Wisconsin, and Mississippi and Arkansas say, wait a minute, Alabama, we got to get on board here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wave happening. Join with us.
Yeah.
Listen, join with us. I mean, begin to believe again. Don't stay for the status quo, but believe again that God can move powerfully,
mm-hmm.
that souls can be won. People that right now are, you would never believe in a million years, could turn their hearts. Let me tell you, I've seen some of them. I was one of them, you know?
Amen.
And they'll be used not only to be, you know, they'll not only be given their life to the Lord, but God will use them in the kingdom.
Amen.
He'll use them. And so this is the hour not to shrink back, as you were talking about, Steve, not to get comfortable and say, okay, well, things are happening.
Mm.
This is the time to press in
and
pray for the complete prayer.
Amen.
Yes, God is ending abortion, but also, Lord Jesus, please send revival.
Amen.
Send revival. And we not only need a revival, but we need a great awakening.
Mm.
The revival touches areas and pockets and groups, maybe cities, but an awakening touches a nation.
Amen.
And what we need is this nation to be awakened to God. Listen, it's happening. We're coming close. When you see rumors of wars and wars, when you see things that are happening in the weather, floods, waters, fires, when you see animals eating houses like the snails in South Florida, when you see locusts in Egypt, when you see people being swallowed up under the ground, not in just one area, one state.
Mm-hmm.
They try to say, so that's the thing, they try to say it was just in Florida and then until it happened somewhere up north. Mm. Catch a clue.
Yeah,
that's right.
Catch a clue. And it's time for us to take notice of this and say, listen, let's do an evaluation on our own personal life. Take evaluation in our own personal life and say, God, where am I with you?
Amen.
It's before you can win a nation. You got to dial it back and start with the man, with the woman who is willing to look in the mirror and say, God, am I content? Am I content with where I'm at with you? And you know where you're at. And the greatest question you would ask yourself today is, if today was your last day, if today you took your last breath, the question is for you, would you have any regrets? Would you have done anything differently?
Mm.
Would you be eagerly anticipating seeing Jesus? Or would you be gripped with fear?
Mm.
Let me tell you, friend, as long as you're still alive and you have, you know, breath in your lungs and blood is still flowing through your veins,
mm-hmm.
you can make the right decision to choose God. Many people today, let me tell you, many people today know of God in America. They believe, you know, that there is a God and they believe of Jesus Christ, but they don't know him. And tell you, it's not enough to know of him and about him and to say, yeah, that's true. That's the right way. Uh-huh. I believe in that Jesus, Christianity, you know, he died for my sins. Listen, don't just be content with a familiarity, because a familiarity is not going to get you into heaven.
Mm.
What's going to get you into heaven is the fact that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, I'm going to make him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make him boss. Let me tell you, there's never been a finer day than today to make that decision. Don't waste a moment. Accept him into your heart and be a part of the great awakening that's going to sweep across this country and around the world.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
In the end, what's really important to you? Stuff or your faith and family? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Randy Alcorn shares this perspective, suggesting that you think about eternity today.
I think if we look at our lives right now, we tend to just keep thinking as if we're not going to die and we're not going to leave behind all these assets. And this life is a window of opportunity. So the question that's very healthy to ask is, okay, after I die, what will I look back on and wish I would have done differently? So why not spend the rest of our lives closing the gap between what we're doing now and what one day in the presence of Christ we will wish we would have done?
You'll find more about life challenges and faith at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, when there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's the lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride in this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that, he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
That's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask, you know, a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just right. got to do this chore, all right?
Two
and,
chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, do chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an right. inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, it's not, I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that mm-hmm. it comes with the author, and
sure.
that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this. And the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. Because he says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, 8 year olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God, and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about being hopeful and excited about revival and the Great Awakening that's coming to our great nation and to the world if we faint not and if we stay after the heart of God and repent. Mm-hmm. Listen, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I what? Hear from heaven? Hear their land?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God will respond to us. He will respond to us, but we have to go after him. The Word of God says that if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. And oftentimes, I've heard it said that your first step determines God's second step. And you got to take a step out. You've got to step out and go after God. And if you want God to take you to a place that you've never been, you've got to be willing to do something you've never done. You got to get out of the status quo. You got to get out of the place of religion. Right. You got to get out of the place of going through the motions without having a genuine and authentic encounter. I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, people can pray for us and we can ask someone to pray and you know, stand with us. But let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful for you to have the confidence and the assurance of knowing that not only you know God, but that he knows you and that he hears your prayers. And there's nothing like communing with him, because when you're his friend, you don't have to, you know, knock on the door and, you know, there are some things, some, you know, closeness and intimacy affords us. I often say that you can't get much closer than his lap. You know, if you're a child of God, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to him and believe that God can do a powerful thing in your life. Listen, the minute you become satisfied with God, satisfied with your relationship, satisfied with your family and your marriage and your kids, and you become, listen, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You should have spiritual unsatisfaction, if you will. Unsatisfaction for your place, because you want to be more. Mm-hmm. More what? More hungry, more on fire, more passionate, more obedient. Because you only have just a little vapor in life here. You only have just a little bit. And you want to make sure that you're giving God everything and that you are taking advantage to go after him. Because let me tell you something. You don't know how much time you have left. We're going to listen to a prophetic word by Brother John Kilpatrick. This is a prophetic word that he shared that really gives us hope and allows us to see that, listen, you may be seeing things that are happening all across the world and even things that are happening in this own country, and maybe you've been discouraged. We want to encourage you today. We want to add courage to you.
Mm.
By sharing this prophetic word that was shared by Brother John Kilpatrick, because let me tell you, the church's finest hour is still ahead of her. This is the time to be a part of the church and be a part of what God is doing across the kingdom of God, but you got to get in. You got to be in. Listen up and be encouraged.
I speak prophetically today on April the 7th, 2013, that you have already emerged from your spiritual drought. You have gained weight in your valley. And that's part of my message next week. Now you are arranging. God is arranging you to take territory. I said, God is arranging you to take territory. Matter of fact, if you want to just receive this, you can. Those of you at home, you can just receive it. I'm going to be hurling these prophetic words out. You will feel a mighty wind at your back, and you will not bend and bow to what you once yielded to. A new season has now come to pass in your life. The old is part of yesterday, not your tomorrow. I declare over you that addiction is broken. It is now a thing of the past, including medication and painkillers. Drugs and alcohol, the Lord said, that season is past. Number two, the limbs of your life has felt brittle and lifeless. Now, as of this minute while I'm prophesying, sap is rising in you. You feel a rising up. Matter of fact, faith is rising. The sun is rising. The fog is thinning. Just yesterday, you couldn't see. But all of a sudden, you now have your bearings. And you're beginning to see daylight again. Everything in the fog looked ominous and threatening. But you are beginning forward movement again. You are moving toward the sun. And now the Son of God is beginning to dissipate that thick fog. And things will not be scary anymore after today. Number three. Someone has just gone through one of the worst places you've ever gone through. And it's loosing its grip that it's had on you for 5 years. As a matter of fact, it will be completely gone by July of this year. Number four, I'm hearing the word beget. It means to bring into existence. A husband and wife will beget a child. This birth has long been anticipated. Your womb appeared to be withered and dried up as that pear tree has been in the winter. But God has touched your reproductive system and it will produce what God desires. You will carry this precious cargo to full birth. Hallelujah. I speak that in the name of Jesus. Number five. You've just sarikori saramaha narabayanda. Brisiki piato ramanda huraba sarabababaya. Matter of fact, there's one lady that's going to have a son, and there's another lady that's going to have twins. You've just come from a shedding season. You involuntarily shed some things. You've shed more than just one relationship. Matter of fact, there were several relationships that grieved you deeply that you lost. It devastated you. It literally set you back on your heels. You cried till you couldn't cry no more. You were blindsided, and it was all unprovoked. Just as Demas forsook Paul, you have also experienced a forsaking. That forsaking was leaves turning loose of one season of your life. It was your tree shedding leaves. You had to shed them to put on new leaves. It was leaves turning loose from one season of your life and a period of time when you looked done and hopeless and you looked friendless. But there has been a season change already where those leaves could not stay attached. New ones are now forming as the sap is rising in your life. What was once rigid is now bending and supple and pliable. What was brown is now turning green. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit says, look around. I've given new things all around you. And I didn't even move you. But I went into your environment and I moved you anywhere. As a matter of fact, this season is already budding forth new relationships. Your limbs are filled with little knots and buds of possibilities. Number six, I see someone with so many blossoms that the Lord is having to thin them out. As a matter of fact, you're about to receive such great blessings and so many of them that the Lord said there won't be room enough in present circumstances for you to receive everything I'm about to give you. Hare soroporiata bababa. Can you say amen? Amen? I'm going to read that one again. I see someone with so many blossoms that they must be thinned out. You're about to receive blessings that's so great and so many that you don't have enough floor space to hoard them all. Matter of fact, there's going to be such fruit your limbs would break. And God, how many of you believe this? I hope I don't have a doubter in the house. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I feel it. You feel it? I think you felt it. Sit down, let me read it one more time. Come on. If y'all need to come, come on. We'll wait. Come on. I see somebody trying to come. Don't worry about it. Come on. If you need to, come on. I see someone with so many blossoms. Your blossoms must be thinned out because you don't have enough room, floor space, to accommodate everything that's in motion for you. Matter of fact, you're about to receive blessings so great there won't be enough room to contain them. Your limbs are going to break. God's loading you down with great, long-awaited blessings. Now listen to this. The Lord said, this is your year. This is not your month. This is not your quarter. This is your year. Your year. Matter of fact, listen. I'm still on this prophecy, but let me say this. When they get ready to reproduce this, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I got to put this in here. The Holy Spirit said, most of the time, when a season comes like spring, you know what to expect: azaleas, dogwoods. When fall comes, you know what to expect. Go to the mountains and look at the beautiful colors. When winter comes, you know what to expect. Snow and sleet and ice, cold temperatures, fireplaces. When summer comes, the beaches, beach balls, sun, suntan lotion. But the Holy Spirit said this, and I wanted to remember this. I'm so glad he brought it back to my remembrance. The Holy Spirit said, oh, but this year, this is going to be a year unlike any other year that my people has ever experienced. He said it's going to be full. It's going to be full. He said it's going to come at you at all directions for months. For months. It's absolutely your time. It's your season. Number seven. A misunderstanding that brought great sorrow to your family is going to be resolved within a matter of days. It separated your family. It ruined the holidays for the last several holidays. It's affected marriages and even affected the health of some of your elderly relatives. Great destruction, great heartbreak has come to your family, your extended family. Satan, the Lord said, brought great confusion to this family that was once very happy. But Holy Spirit is going to bring supernatural revelation of exactly all that caused this great division. and he's going to remove the blinders from the eyes of the family so they can see the truth. The Lord said no one will be excommunicated in the family because of this, but great reconciliation will come, tears will flow, lost time will be made up for, a trip is going to be planned immediately where everybody can get together and have a good time. This will only be a distant memory by Mother's Day, the Lord said. I'll say it again. The Lord said this will be a distant memory by Mother's Day. Number 8, an opportunity you thought was lost forever will miraculously reappear. This time, you'll be glad to see him. And you will seize him and never let him go. It'll truly be a situation where opportunity knocks twice for you, young lady. Number 9, someone is going to be reunited with their biological family after being separated all your life. It was a sinister plot of Satan to isolate you, but the blood of the family called out to you. And the blood of the family will prevail, and you'll be reunited with your biological family. There will be challenges, there'll be setbacks, but the Lord said this is going to bring great peace when it finally comes to pass. It'll be like Moses realizing finally who his Hebrew mother was. And you will be a staunch defender of your people. Many mysteries will be unraveled regarding this, but it's right at the door, says the Lord. Amen. Let's stand up and let's praise the Lord.
Wow, what a powerful prophetic word. My goodness, this word was given by Brother John Kilpatrick, April of this year, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, listen, it's a new day and a new season.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there's many, many, many believers that have been faithful to the Lord. I mean, God is faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him.
Mm.
And we thank God that the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning.
Mm.
And it's a great new season. I mean, listen, receive this word. Receive it for yourself. Receive it for your family. The back of that thing has been broken, and God wants to bring you into a season of abundance and blessing and a place where you can grow in him. I mean, some of these things that were said were just absolutely amazing, that were said prophetically, and they're going to last the entire year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whole year.
Amen. The entire year. The family restoration, addiction that'd be broken. There'll be no more thing of the past.
Yeah.
There'll be so much fruit in your life that it would literally break the limbs.
Mm. Mm.
So blessed that you would have no room to contain it. And a lot of people have been in a place of despair. They've been in a place of discouragement,
mm-hmm.
which means that the courage has left you. And you've been shaky and you've been wondering. And it's so wonderful to hear a prophetic word, a word that was inspired by God and that God wanted to share with his people. And it's nothing like a word like that to continue to put fuel in your tank and help you to keep going.
Amen.
And to see the things that are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's seasons in life. There's all sorts of seasons. And just like there's seasons in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You have the spring, you have the summer, you have the fall, you have the winter. And there are things that you can do in one season that you can't do in another season. And listen, some of you have been going through seasons of hardship. Some of you have been going through seasons of trials. Some of you have been going through some really difficult, tough times. But you know, I've said this before, that you know, this too shall pass.
Mm.
And it has to pass.
Yeah.
And welcome the new season in your life. One of the ways that you can miss the new thing that God is trying to do is being stuck on the old. Let that thing go.
Amen.
Let that situation pass. And walk into the newness of what God has for you. But you listen, a prophetic word has to be received. So you want to open your heart wide and you want to, you know, take it in faith and declare it over your life and watch what God's going to do. Man, powerful, powerful.
Very,
looking very forward to it. Yeah, very encouraging. Live in it.
You receive that.
As we come to the end of the extra hour, we do want to share real quick with you the VFN Torch top 3, over 1,800, Steve, 1,800 highlights.
Wow. Amen.
These are the top 3, and we're getting so much feedback from everyone that's listening on VFN Radio. Continue to share them with your friends, with your family. You can do that by going to the Torch, by going to VFNTV.com, or you can also do that by sharing from your app that you can download from the Apple App Store or Android Google Play. But the first one we want to share with you is no fantasies, just hard work. It's a moment of wisdom that was shared out of Proverbs 12:11. And the Word of God says that he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Let me tell you something. Fantasies and dreams, and it's all right to have a dream and a plan, but you got to get out there and do some work.
Yeah.
You got to get out there and make it happen. You got to go out there and sow in time and energy and intellectual, you know, stress there. You got to invest to see the abundance. You know, God, interesting how God always called people. Jesus called disciples that were doing something. You know, they were fishing. They were doing something.
That's right.
But you got to be doing something. And it's not about a fantasy or just about a dream. You need to have all three. We shared it on VFN Radio. You got to have a vision. You got to have the ability to speak it. And you got to put some action behind the vision, which is some hard work. The second one we want to share with you is gratitude, now or later. And this is a time where we share a perspective, God's perspective on the poor. And I'm telling you that now more than ever with some of the things that are happening, if nothing else, you really need to have a heart of gratitude for what you presently do have. You know, unless things change and unless the church repents, we are really going to be walking into some difficult times. It's going to be some of the worst of times and some of the best of times. Mm-hmm. But if you're not grateful for what you have today, let me tell you something. You can actually lose what you presently have. You know, determine that today you're going to walk around your place of business, your home, your family, and you're going to begin to appreciate what you have instead of stop worrying about what you don't have.
That's right.
And the last thing we're going to share with you is who is your God? This was an opportunity that we had to hear Jefferson Bethke. He's the young man that's really talented in spoken word. And he basically talks about counterfeit gods. Listen, everybody was designed to worship God, the one true God. God put that inside of you. But the reality is not everyone is serving the true God. Make today a decision to let go of that little G God, whether it's money, fame, self, an employment, a person, and replace that little G God with the one true big G God, Jesus Christ, in your heart today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.